page 7. 2010 ACB Convention Report, Part 1, by Donna Pomerantz and Jeff Tom. It's almost an impossible task to bring to the dry pages of this report the dynamic, wild, incredible, fulfilling time most of us have when attending an ACB National Convention, and yet that's exactly what we are presented with in compiling these reports. Judging by the reactions of some of the Californians who were first-timers at this convention in Phoenix, or those who hadn't been to a national convention in a long time, they could likely write an article engendering that feeling far better than we can, but we'll do our best. Our report will focus on the general sessions, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention the outstanding tours, including the Grand Canyon Tour and the super special interest sessions that occur throughout the week, and the ACB Walk on Saturday, in which several of you walked and many more of you generously contributed. If you can make it to Reno next summer for the 50th ACB convention, a golden moment indeed. That convention will also be chock-full of this type of experience. Page 8. The 49th Annual ACB Sunday Night Opening Session was full of information and nice surprises. After our invocation, Pledge of Allegiance, and National Anthem, we had warm welcome greetings from Marshall Franklin, Deputy Chief of Staff, Office of the Mayor of Phoenix, the fifth largest city in the United States. We were also welcomed by the Arizona Council of the Blind's President Ron Brooks and immediate past President Barbara McDonald. We then heard some highlights of the past year from President Pomerantz. He discussed the thinking of the board for proposing the constitutional amendment to change the name to the ACB Conference and Convention. There is a need for the change to attract sponsors and other professionals. Later in the convention, that change was adopted by the membership. Approaching the final months of the first decade of the 21st century, he spoke of some of the challenges we who are blind are facing. In education, we are experiencing a low rate of Braille literacy among children who are blind, as well as a shortage of Braille teachers, the closure of teacher preparation programs, as well as schools for people who are blind. He further talked about the Task Force on Schools for the Blind, chaired by Ray Campbell, and the work it has done. Page 9. Also, rehabilitation and employment issues are of great concern. He mentioned that the ongoing economic crisis in states has been the justification for a nationwide movement to consolidate programs that has the potential to seriously damage programs serving blind and low-vision consumers. ACB has been working closely with the Randolph-Shepard Vendors of America to ensure that vending facility programs are not harmed so that we can keep opportunities open for blind and visually impaired people. President Pomerantz also mentioned that ACB has been working with the National Industries for the Blind in support of their employment programs that provide work for thousands of blind and low-vision Americans. He noted that transportation is suffering as well. Some cities have eliminated non-peak hour service, and when buses don't run, neither does paratransit. On a more positive note, the President discussed ACB's efforts to get H.R. 734 and S. 841 quiet car legislation passed. It looks as if we will be successful in having this legislation enacted. President Pomerantz also discussed H.R. 3101, our telecommunications bill, the great testimony given by CCP member Jesse Acosta, the challenges we must overcome to get this passed with the necessary components in the bill. The President then mentioned that the structured negotiation work ACB has done with Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian continues to make steady progress in furthering barrier removal regarding website accessibility and point-of-sale machines. He also mentioned ACB's Social Security Administration litigation victory, thanking the Disability Rights and Education Defense Fund for their fine work. Now SSA must provide us with letters of information in Braille and CD. SSA also has indicated their willingness to provide information in large print and cassette. Page 10. he discussed ACB's concerns regarding the document presented by the consultant for the Department of the Treasury in our successful accessible currency case, and noted that ACB will be submitting comments to the department. Before turning to internal ACB matters, he also mentioned that the ACB Audio Description Project has submitted grant applications and is hoping for big things in the year to come. Two internal challenges are fundraising and membership recruitment. In May, a 3-minute interview was aired on Sky Radio, carried by the Business and Technology Channel, on 29,000 American Airlines flights, as well as a 30-second announcement on the CNN Airport Network at nearly 50 airports around the country. ACB is also in the process of establishing its presence on Facebook and Twitter. President Pomerantz concluded by stating that we must all join in and support the legal, legislative, and advocacy initiatives of ACB so we can continue to keep our programs and services and support the memory and work of our founders. Next on the program was Daniel Goldstein, attorney for the Reading Rights Coalition, which is comprised of approximately 30 organizations. Page 11. He spoke of the case against Arizona State University regarding access to e-books and the Kindle. At the beginning of 2010, there were 350,000 Kindle books, and that now has doubled. In contrast, the National Library Services is able to add 2,000 accessible books a year. We must have mainstream access because that is where the real action is. Despite the great things that NLS and other entities serving our population have done, we will be left far behind if we don't have access to mainstream book providers. In 2007, the first Kindle was released and the menus did not speak, and it had no text-to-speech component. In February 2009, the Kindle 2 was released with text-to-speech. However, the Authors Guild and publishers were furious and said they did not agree to this, so Amazon agreed it would turn off the text-to-speech at the request of a publisher. For this reason, the Reading Rights Coalition was formed. By March of 2010, most publishers and the Authors Guild agreed that whenever another book is available in other than print, that version of the book must be accessible. Not all publishers are keeping the text-to-speech on the Kindle. In April 2009, the Kindle DX was released, and it was announced that six colleges, including Arizona State University, were commencing a pilot project using the Kindle DX. Thus, ACB and NFB agreed to join together in a lawsuit against Arizona State, and complaints by the federal government were filed against the other five institutions. Now all of the complaints have been resolved, and the schools will not use any inaccessible device for e-books. The United States Departments of Education and Justice released a letter to all colleges and universities stating that the use of inaccessible reading devices is a violation of law and they cannot do it. ACB and NFB also sent equivalent letters as well. Adobe Digital Editions is also inaccessible, and we must work to win that battle as well. Page 12. The Reading Rights Coalition, however, was successful in getting the American Library Association to adopt a resolution that states' libraries should not purchase and lend out inaccessible e-books. Also, the Los Angeles Public Library announced that they would not purchase Adobe Digital Editions and would not do so until they make it accessible. Adobe did say they would have an accessible version the beginning of 2011 and that the default would be that text-to-speech will be turned on. Supposedly, there will be an accessible Kindle in August or September, but time will tell. In 3 to 5 years, there will be no print books. All will be digital. The content of those books will be very complex in that there will be video, hyperlinks, interactive tests, and so on. The challenge for the Reading Rights Coalition will be to make sure that students who are blind will not be left behind. CoreSmart, a leading company in e-books, did not start out in supporting accessibility. They now have had a change of heart with some urging, and in fall 2010, Core Smart Books will work with the Mac and by January 2011 with PCs. The DAISY Consortium is working to make standards and show others how to make digital instructional materials. We also need the U.S. Department of Education to put in the grants the award that all digital content must be accessible as a Braille file and by screen reading technology. Page 13. The goal of the Reading Rights Coalition is to ensure that everyone will have any book at the same time for the same price as sighted readers do. Unfortunately, the gentleman from Major League Baseball was not able to attend. We have, however, received outstanding cooperation from baseball's website, MLB.com, pursuant to structured negotiations. We then heard a report from Carol Ann Ewing Ragsdale, Chair, DKM First Timers Committee. She introduced the awardees from Texas and North Carolina. Both gentlemen have been very active in their states. We went to the presentation of Life membership to ACB by President Pomerantz. New Life members included a familiar face to many of us, former Californian and longtime Hawaiian Don Thompson. Next was the credentials report by Chair Gene Mann. Four affiliates were contacted because of late rosters and dues, and one of them had a vote taken away. The night ended with a lively roll call of affiliates by Marlena Lieberg, ACB Secretary. After a few brief business items, including some introductions of some of our sponsors and a final credentials committee report, Monday morning's session began with First Vice President Kim Charlson presiding. Cindy Van Winkle, Awards Committee Chair, presented a membership award to the South Dakota Council of the Blind, which had an 81.8% membership increase. Paul Edwards, Publications Committee Chair, gave awards to ACB of Texas for its White Cane public service announcement. He next awarded June Horst of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind an award for their newsletter. Finally, the last award went to Lisa Brooks for her fine Braille Forum article, How Forgiveness Got Me a Job. Page 14. Alice Duckworth, Outreach Coordinator, Arizona Capitol Museum, presented a fascinating address on the treasures of Arizona. As early as the 1850s, before there was an Arizona territory, copper was being shipped to Wales. She talked about some of the strange mysteries and natural beauty of Arizona. The Grand Canyon and the mountain ranges have a stark beauty. But although copper is king in Arizona, it's the three rivers near Phoenix that are the treasure for that region. The real treasure, however, is the people. One of the highlights of the convention was the address from our international speaker, Carrie Ann Eiffel, Deputy President of the Senate in Barbados and Secretary of the Caribbean Council of the Blind. Her small island nation is said to have 13,000 persons with disabilities, but that may be a low estimate. They do, however, have a high diabetes rate, but a good health care system. She described their governance system, which is modeled after the British system. Politically, the Caribbean is fairly stable. One study said that the blind equal 1% of the Barbados population, and the low-vision population was 3%. Although there is an education program for blind and low-vision children, very few are in school, and this is true of many Caribbean nations, services are poor and often unavailable. Even insufficient advocacy is a problem. The Caribbean Council of the Blind is mainly in the English and French areas and not the Spanish-speaking nations. The Council does have some good programs. Page 15. Barbados has a government Department of Disabilities and Disability Organizations, as well as the Barbados Association of the Blind and Deaf, established in 1957. It has a sheltered workshop and a rehabilitation program. They have only their second blind president, and hopefully that trend will continue. They do have a school under the association's auspices, but it doesn't provide secondary education. There is also the United Society for the Blind that is mainly comprised of blind people. She loves the Barbados Blind Cricket Association, and there are teams from other Caribbean nations as well. It's done a great deal for blind folks because many sighted cricketers are very excited about it. She works for a computer services program for the blind, which is a government program in the Department of Disabilities. She wants to teach the world that blind people can adapt if their needs are met. The next speaker was California's own Kathy Martinez, Assistant Secretary, Office of Disability Policy in U.S. Department of Labor. Kathy emphasized that in the Obama administration, people with disabilities are a full partner and are at the table with everyone else. She realizes we need to make all Department of Labor processes as accessible as possible to ensure good employment outcomes, but that they have come a long way. She said that the department was going to be engaging in a rulemaking proposal under which they'd be soliciting comments on enhancing its disability affirmative action statutes. Federal contractors make up more than 20% of the workforce, and we need to get our share of the pie. ACB must focus, she thinks, on the questions the department will pose in the rulemaking proposal on how to make all information accessible to us. We need to provide data on best practices to the department. Page 16. She described the Add Us In initiative to help enlarge the numbers of minority businesses that recruit persons with disabilities. Just because most of these small businesses don't need to comply with the ADA doesn't mean they shouldn't hire us. This will be a grant program under which consortiums will receive funding. Her office is working with NIB and NIH to increase choice by providing best practice information to them that will promote employment choice. She talked at the department's co-sponsoring of the April 26 hiring event for persons with disabilities. So far, almost 100 offers have been made, and although this isn't great, it's a major step forward. They would like to try these job expos regionally. She also mentioned SPAs developed in their campaign for employees with disabilities. They can be downloaded from their website. She also mentioned their work on the Aging in Place campaign for employment of seniors with disabilities. She also discussed the need for development of better youth transition programs and, specifically, a curriculum for soft skills that employers demand for persons with and without disabilities since they will be working together. Finally, Kathy mentioned an issue that we in CCB have been trying to work on. Her office held a meeting in Hollywood a few days before her address on employment of persons with disabilities in all areas of the entertainment industry. Kathy's remarks were followed by a panel on rehabilitation with various professionals. The first speaker was Michael Gandy from Mississippi. He has embraced the consumer groups, joined both, met with them both many times on policy matters, and in his view, it greatly helps communication with him and his staff. He also knows how important those groups are to ensuring that his program does not go away. Finally, the consumer groups work more closely when this communication exists. He mentioned their partnership with Subway and Dunkin' Donuts and the positive impact on their Randolph Shepherd program. Page 17. Patrick Cannon from Michigan mentioned that they were using federal stimulus funds to create public and private sector internships, both part and full time, for blind and low vision persons. These internships help consumers develop hard and soft skills that they need. These internships also give supervisory staff the knowledge that blind people can do the job. Linda Mock talked about their commission structure. A majority of the membership must be blind, and that she is thrilled with that structure. She talked about how, when the governor announced that the commission was going to be eliminated, she found out through a blind consumer who warned her, and then she and others mobilized to stop the effort. Commission consumers, including NFB and ACB, did a great job to thwart the governor's initiative. In fact, the legislature was receiving so many calls that they wanted her to stop bothering them because the governor, not they, was causing the problem and urging her commission to be abolished. She said, "I can't stop the consumers from complaining." Page 18. Greg Trapp from New Mexico praised the cooperation of NFB and ACB in fighting an effort to end their Commission for the Blind. New Mexico is trying to institute policy recommendations on warning drivers of hybrid cars about their dangers. New Mexico also has a Technology for Children program, and they think that will end if their commission goes away. Ed House from Arizona concluded by talking about the potential for funding gaps to worsen as stimulus funding dries up. Advocacy will be more important than ever under this circumstance. He mentioned contracting with private provider entities who can match additional funding. He talked about consortium programs, such as the marine contract that Arizona and California are entering into. How hard these are to form, but how it may become very necessary to maintain programs. Finally, Oral Miller discussed the schedule for the ACB Recreation Zone, a part of every ACB convention, where games and exercise events can entertain you and make you healthy as well. Tuesday's session began with a report of the nominating committee presented by Judy Cannon, Chair. Nominees for the Board of Directors were Ray Campbell, Illinois, Jeff Tom, California, Alan Peterson, North Dakota, George Holliday, Pennsylvania, Janelle Edward, Missouri. For the Board of Publications, nominees were Marcia Dresser, Massachusetts, Judy Jackson, Texas, Ken Stewart, New York. Then John Huffman, acting chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, gave a first reading of some of the proposed amendments to the ACB Constitution. Page 19. Eric Bridges, Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, gave a report stating that in 2 days from this session, the Senate Congress Committee is going to take up S-3304, the Senate's version of our Equal Access to 21st Century Communications Act. We don't want them to remove several provisions that were recently removed from the House version, including the deaf-blind provisions and the prohibition on video description, and the FCC's authority to reenact the prior video description requirements for television networks and potentially expand them in the future. He stated that we need to keep the bill as strong as it was previously, and he would let us know if we needed to make calls during convention. Tuesday's presiding officer was Second Vice President Brenda Dillon. Following Eric, Lainey Feingold reported on ACB's ongoing structured negotiations efforts. "Structured negotiations depends on me," was her theme. She and Linda Dardarian have worked with ACB for 15 years, starting with us in CCB. They are now working with other states as well. There are now tens of thousands of accessible point-of-sale keypads where there were none before. She also reported on our work for the installation of talking ATMs, which started in 1995. There are close to 100,000 talking ATMs all over, and this effort started through the work with us in CCB. Accessible pedestrian signals were discussed, specifically the San Francisco settlement. She also reported on accessible financial information, specifically accessible credit reports and banking information. "Accessible healthcare information is a new area Linda and Lainey are working on for us. We have the right to have confidential and private access to our information, and we must demand equal access. We are currently working with the American Cancer Society and hope to have more to say about this later in the year. Also, work is being done on the use of talking pill bottles in order to obtain access to prescription information." Page 20. Lainey also reported on a marvelous audio victory that occurred due to the efforts of the Arizona Attorney General's Office and others, in which audio description equipment in movie theaters was held as generally required under the ADA. She also mentioned that accessibility to airline kiosks is another area that is being worked on. She concluded that it is up to all of us to continue making sure that our structured negotiations are being implemented, and if they aren't, then it is up to us to let her or Linda know. Patty Slaby, ACB Scholarship Committee Chair, introduced our scholarship winners. She announced that Kurzweil Education Systems awards all ACB winners a Kurzweil 1000 software package to help with their education. We are proud to say that the Floyd Qual Scholarship went to a Californian who is attending Cal State University, Los Angeles. Her presentation ended with recognition of the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International Scholarship winners. Our own Dr. Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker from Diamond Bar chairs the CCLVI Scholarship Committee. Next, we had an extremely interesting address from Sam Badgenstos, Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, U.S. Department of Justice. He gave us an assessment of the ADA on its 20th anniversary. Page 21. He talked about his priorities for people with disabilities, one being full and equal access to technology. His office is dedicated to supporting the work being done regarding accessibility to the Kindle. He also informed us that the Department of Justice has taken a position that goods and services provided over the Internet are covered under Title III of the ADA. They are pushing very hard to extend their regulatory authority. They want to work with businesses to provide technical assistance in making environments accessible. But if those businesses don't want the technical assistance, then the department will sue. His office has a very active complaints unit that deals with hundreds and hundreds of complaints every year. They are building trust in the community, and they wish they could have more resources to deal with everything that comes to them. They feel that they are doing better, and they want us to reach out to them and let them know the issues impacting us. Also, he mentioned that the Department of Justice has an ADA hotline number, which is 1-800-514-0301. Our next speakers were Frank Kurt Silke, Director, National Library Service, and NLS Foreign Language Librarian David Fernandez Barrial. There are, Kurt Silke told us, already 200,000 of the new machines that should be in the possession of readers. They also have approximately 20,000 books on the Bard site and are regularly adding titles. David Fernandez Barrial has been with NLS for a year now. He informed us that one thing they have done to expand the foreign language library includes adding a number of Spanish language titles. Page 22. The top languages in the NLS collection are Spanish, French, Ukrainian, German, and Russian. They put a survey together and sent it to the libraries and received responses from all but 7 states. They're also working with field offices all over the world. Regarding direct Bard technical support, you can only contact them by email for assistance. The session ended with an update on ACB's audio description project given by Joel Snyder, President, Audio Description Associates, and Director, ACB Audio Description Project. Snyder informed us that the project was established in January 2009. He told us that this year the second audio description conference is being held in conjunction with the ACB convention. There were also 11 countries represented attending virtually. The project is currently doing a final evaluation of national standards for audio description. They are also reviewing how much people who are blind are involved in every aspect of audio description, from voicing description to producing description. The project is working in conjunction with Art Education for the Blind of New York and are actively planning an audio described tour of the White House. This project has also been working actively on the passage of H.R. 3101 and its Senate companion. He said that there is much more going on, but he would close by letting us know that they have a presence on Facebook where you can become a fan. Go to the web at acb.org/ADP to find a list of DVDs that have audio description. And if you buy them from Amazon through the ADP, the project benefits. You can also find out more of what is going on with this project when you visit the website. Tune in to the next BC for the exciting conclusion of this report.